It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Greetings, Mark.
Hey, zooming in once again, all your counseling these days is virtual, and you find that that works pretty well, and you, though, get some of the same questions that you've gotten for many years, and you're known as the Bible-based counselor, Christian counselor, and you kind of want to talk about that this week. What sets you apart? What's different about Bible-based counseling from your perspective?
Yeah, and I might talk about why I even went that route. I mean, counseling, psychology counseling is a big program in schools, and I think it's still a popular program. Maybe we could talk a little bit about maybe why I think it's so popular. But you and I did a couple of shows this past month, I think, where we talked about AI, and I think that the question might have come about AI counseling, which is getting to be a big deal.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, AI will probably never do Bible-based counseling.
Right. Okay.
So I was just thinking, the reason I got into counseling at all, because I was in construction and I really had no education beyond high school, and then I had some accidents at work, and it required a lot of surgery, so I went back to school, with fear and trembling, because I hadn't done particularly well in school when I was in high school, just not interested. So I went back to school when I was older, and I think I was approaching 30 or just a little over 30, and I'd been married for a number of years, and we had a daughter, and I'd gone through, had a construction business, gone through a recession back there in the 70s. So we had a lot of life experience, and we had taught Sunday school classes and led, when I say Sunday school classes, it's not little kids, but adult classes, adult education classes. We had pastored a singles group for 5 years, older singles. So we had some experience under our belt, but when I went to school, things worked out to where the only class that I got a scholarship, and it wasn't a meritorious scholarship. It had to do with being injured and going back to work. And so it was kind of a cakewalk. I think only one other person applied and then dropped out. So it was a freebie. And the way it worked out was I had to go to school a certain quarter, but I had some surgeries coming up. So the only class I could take was Psych 101.
Okay.
And so I found that I was interested in it. I seemed to understand it. I remember taking my final exam and the instructor saying, I've never had anybody finish that exam in that short a time. And so for me, it was just, I felt that I didn't have to study very hard. All the concepts were things that made perfect sense to me. So I didn't
really
do a lot of
memorizing.
That
was just regular secular ideas, secular counseling ideas.
Yeah.
They made sense to you of coming from a background in construction to counseling. Those don't seem like those would go together. But maybe it's because you understood how the brain works.
Well, I think the part of construction that I enjoyed was the design, and that's what I enjoyed about the psychology too.
Was the
structure, the way people work and things. But so I would say that Bible-based counseling began because I'd been raised in a Christian home. We'd done all that work in church, and I'd done a lot of parapastoral counseling in the church for years. And so it just seemed that, and then at the same time, remember the Jay Adams days?
No,
remember
I don't.
Jay Adams?
No. What is that?
Competent to Counsel.
Oh, no.
There was a book out, Competent to Counsel. It came out in the 70s. And people just rushed to it. And it was like in lieu of training. It's basically stated that if you were a Christian and you knew the scripture, you could counsel. And I watched that people kind of join up and everybody wanted to get involved in counseling. It begs the question, why do people want to get involved in counseling. I think that program, you know, it shortcutted, it shortcut education because it was in lieu of training. It sort of had a position that biblical counseling, and that's what they called it. It was competent to counsel, but the whole approach was if you know the Bible, you can counsel. So they called that biblical counseling. And if you didn't, if you did any other kind of counseling, you were a heathen. And so, but I watched, it had a pretty high mortality rate because the people that were drawn to that, to be counselors, were trying to take a shortcut. They didn't have training. They didn't want training. They thought training was kind of the devil. And, they were sort of, we tended to be headstrong and opinionated. I got in on the fringe of it, but, I saw that there were a lot of people that that could not be helped, and that was mostly people who had deep-seated habits, addictions, and chronic marital problems, and just things that were – they just went beyond what a lot of just friendly advice and some Bible verses.
Well, it seemed to me also back at that time a lot of the approach instead of counseling is they – they say, you got a demon. You got to be exercised.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of this spiritual warfare being attributed to every kind of bad habit and bad problem you had. Yeah. It was because of a demon that needed to be cast out. That was also a big trend at that time.
It was, and that was part of the crossover to the Jay Adams was that there was just an attitude with the counselors that if you didn't get better, you weren't really serious about it, or you had a demon or something like that. Mm. And that I read that as just we as Christian counselors just didn't understand. Mm. And so when I did go back to school and I got that, I took that psych class, I was a bit surprised that I kind of valued it or kind of embraced it. It wasn't the boogeyman that I had thought it probably was going to be. And so I went that direction. And the other things that so and I think that the psych courses, what they did more than anything, because I wasn't into memorizing who said what and what model did this and what model did that. But some of those I found interesting. But mostly one of the things it taught me was what I didn't know. It taught me that I didn't know as much as I thought I knew about people. And so it was kind of a counterpoint. And I think one of the things you learn in life, whether you're studying, no matter what you're studying, is you learn about yourself. You learn something about yourself. So I think that was a good part of the psych. As I went on in education, though, there were more things that kind of didn't fit my biblical perspective on life. And it was the secular training did seem to attract agnostic, atheistic kinds of folks. There were some Christians in the programs, and I suppose if you went to a Christian university, you'd find
it's kind of become the religion of secular people. Psychology, mm-hmm. Psychiatry. It's kind of their religion.
And there's a danger there where there's enough of a crossover that I think people who are believers can fully embrace the secular approach and feel that they're. And feel that it's good enough. And maybe in some ways they feel it's better because if the alternative is casting out demons or quoting scripture or more prayer time, there are better tools or more attractive tools in secular psychology.
So that is not what you've come to determine is Bible-based counseling necessarily.
No, not at least not my brand of it. The mm-hmm. other thing was, obviously, Bible based. You need the Bible, and when I say need the Bible, and this is just me specifically. When I say need the Bible, I mean Bible study. I was always interested in studying the Bible, whether it was a topical study or a word study or a study of a passage. I was as interested in studying the Bible as I was in studying psychology or studying architecture or building. So study and just practical application in your own life. And I think that the older you get, the more of that you have. Mm. So that was the third thing, psychology, the Bible, and then life experience. Well,
and I would think a Bible-based counseling, what you're mainly saying by that, from what I've gathered over talking to you through the years, is you have a Christian worldview. You have a Christian worldview as to what, you know, that man is fallen, he needs redemption. It's not that man is just, and this is what I've noticed with a lot of purely secular counseling, it's gone totally toward every problem you have is because of a sickness, as opposed to maybe a sin problem that needs
and
to
I
be
think
worked
that that's, on. I think that's kind of the other side of the coin of secular counseling, not really having the answer either. And so we have, on the one side, we have the J. Adams, where the Christian counselors didn't have the answer, so they went in lieu of education and training. And on the other other side of the coin, you've got the secular world that doesn't really have the answer, so they go, in lieu of finding the answers, they go medication and meditation,
But you've also, in your studies through the years, and again, it's not necessarily, I mean, God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You've gotten a lot into the physical reasons for things, like the brain, brain chemistry and brain stuff. And you're always talking about the the brain stem and all this stuff.
Because Bible-based counseling, and this is where I can't speak for other counselors who call themselves Bible-based counselors or Christian counselors, but for me, based in Scripture does not just simply mean, it doesn't mean that you don't, that it's as opposed to secular counseling, because there were a lot of things. I mean, secular psychology has studied the behavior of people, and we've brought up the personality tests from time to time, and they're not a total fluke. They're designed tests, and they bring out certain things. So you're going to learn something. Every medical doctor is not an atheist, but whether they're an atheist or whatever, medicine is medicine, and there's a certain aspect of that. Math is math, medicine is medicine, psychology is psychology. So Bible-based doesn't mean I don't use any of the others, but I did develop my own models, which I'll talk a little bit about when we come back.
Okay. You are the Bible-based counselor, describing how you apply that term to what you do as a counselor. People need counsel, need counseling. All your counseling is virtual these days. How do people get in touch with you for an appointment, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also contact me through the website where we find all these podcasts as well. And that's BibleBasedCounselor.com. Again, 425-778-6169.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind Show with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is taking us through what he means by Bible-based counseling. He is the Bible-based counselor. What does his technique involve? Does it involve? And we're finding out from Daniel.
Yeah. Let me, first of all, before I get back into that, I want to punch this book again that I've been mentioned a few times on the radio. It's called Slaying Giants, written by Kylie McConnell. Kylie McConnell, two C's, two N's, and two L's. A story of suffering, victory, and grace. The battle is the Lord's, 1 Samuel 17:47. Gal that's been through an awful lot and has a lot of, it's written as a diary. And for people who have really, really suffered in life and are still suffering, it can be very inspirational. Slaying Giants by Kylie McConnell. You would just go to Amazon.com, and in the search bar for the books, you would go Slaying Giants, Kylie, that's K-Y-L-I-E, McConnell, McConnell, two C's, two N's, and two L's. And that can be a real inspiration for somebody. So I wanted to talk about my, my Bible-based counseling, which is its own brand. When I, shortly after I started taking psych classes, and as I said, I just seem to understand, and that's another part that I need to mention is there was a very the way things unfolded, it was clearly God leading me into that. So that was the other part of it. I had an interest, I had an understanding, and right away, I think as I was studying psychology, Bible verses started to come to mind, and so the secular psychology actually began to explain the way certain scriptures work. And so I began to develop my own tools. And when I was working in the public sector for about 5 years down in Tacoma, Washington, and I started leading an anger management class, and they had some curriculum for me to use. And I started using the curriculum, and I just decided I have a better way. It's going to be more Bible-based, and so that's when I quit, moved into, hung up my own shingle and went private so that I could develop my own my own tools. And although they are, like I've got life perspectives where your world is either growing larger or smaller, and you're at one side, you're in addiction, and then a little larger world, it's very materialistic, and then a little larger world, you're living in what I call the eternal perspective, where life is an encounter with the sovereign purpose of God and how we vacillate back. And so I use this tool for people, whether they're having anger in marriage or anger problems or addictions or lack of motivation or depression, or I can use that model, develop models on personalities and things. But the thing was that through my life experience and my Bible knowledge, for me personally, learning psychology was not something different from the Bible. It was just another window. So it brought scripture verses to mind. One of the things I found when I started working, and again, you know, I've only marketed churches. I've never marketed secularly. I market through this radio show for years now. And I've contacted pastors, and my wife and I had publications, Christian Counselors Forum, that I would send out to pastors on a regular basis. And so I've only really worked with people from the church. And one of the things that I found very early on, and it's continued, is it's not that Christians don't know the scripture. I mean, not everybody knows all the scripture. Some Christians that I, an awful lot of Christians that I work with are relatively ignorant in the scriptures, but some are pretty know the verses. The problem that I found was they don't apply them to life. Mm. They don't know how they work, and so a lot of times what I would have to do is set the Bible to one side and talk about how the brain works and how our motives work and our emotions work and our behaviors work. And then when they begin to understand how we work, then we could bring the Bible back in and see that it's all there. Mm. It's all in the scripture. And so it's a matter of not just knowing the scriptures, but knowing the how to practically apply them in life. And then people find that they're living life intentionally by intentionally, I'm trying to think of another word, but and then the Bible is the basis of why they do things the way they now do them. It's like if you're talking to an addict and he or she is trying to break this addiction, there are certain things they have to do. They have to pursue something that is of more value to them than their addiction. Mm. Now, sometimes that can't just be the Bible or prayer, because they haven't developed that delight in their heart for the Lord. Mm. But they need something. And so sometimes they have to grab onto something, something else meantime.
Yeah.
So some other, like, career, an education, a service, something that they can be passionate about, and then in time see how That is a very, that's a very biblical principle.
Yeah.
And then bring the scripture in.
Yeah. One of the things, well, you delight yourself in the Lord. What about the idea in the Bible that is also expressed a lot is the fear of the Lord? Do you use that? How does that work into Bible-based? This is a personal question because I've been thinking about it. Because it uses the term a lot, in the particularly in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Where does that, what does the Bible mean by that idea?
Well, I think it can mean a number of things. One of the things that I have in doing some study in Genesis over the past few years, and you know, there is that the first mention of the word fear is where Adam and Eve sinned, and then they realized that they were naked, and then Adam said he hid from God because he was afraid. And you say, sometimes I've read that and kind of chuckled and said, well, that's a good, I mean, that's the beginning of wisdom. Okay. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And it can be used that way to acknowledge God's existence.
But then it uses, but then it also uses the term, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, which is how you get your program's name.
Well, that there is that aspect of fear that is, because we are mortal, we have that need of safety and security, and it's never guaranteed in our mortal life. So everyone has to face, C.S. Lewis said, I'm not afraid of death, but I'm afraid of dying.
Right.
We all have to face that. And that's a certain fear that is because of our mortality. And it goes along with the fear of God. It's not the same. It's kind of the other side of a coin, in a sense, because our fear of God is the acknowledgement that he is our all-sufficiency. And if we don't recognize that, and I tell people, clients that, you know, clients that I meet go through things, Kylie, for example, McConnell, had gone through things that I could never, I don't know how I would ever have the grace to go through them. But as I tell people, we all have the same journey, but we all have the same destiny, and that is total trust in Christ. We have to get to that place where we totally trust. And everybody is, I don't have to carry everybody's cross. I don't have to experience the tragedies that some people experience. I have traumas in my own life and troubles and trials in my own life. Actually, those are a good thing. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, which implies that all these tribulations that we're going through are working for him. They're working to his purpose. But I think the fear of the Lord for Christians means coming to that place where we realize that we can look for satisfaction other places in life, but we're not going to find it, that he's our all-sufficiency. Mm-hmm. And so we need to come to the place where we totally rely on him. And he'll be faithful to lead us through things where that will be required.
Yeah. Well, people seek out counseling because there is trouble going on in their life, either trouble in their own relationship or some issue they're having struggles with. So trouble can be a good thing. It can be kind of a schoolmaster can lead us into a deeper relationship with God.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was looking at the consequences in Genesis chapter 3, the consequences of Adam and Eve's disobedience. And if you look at the things that God pronounced for Adam, it was thorns and thistles. You know, basically, you're going to have to work hard at farming now. And we look at Eve, and it says, increased pain in childbirth. And we look at why is God doing that? Is he just kicking the dog? Is he just, that upset? We say, no, these were in fact blessings, because the fruit of the Spirit, if you could take a list of the fruit of the Spirit, and not one of those is available without pain and suffering. They all imply going through difficult times, and they all imply relationship, but they all imply. And so you could see the things that were, the consequences that were pronounced were things that were necessary for Adam and Eve to be in a place, for all of us to be in such a place where the Holy Spirit can work in our lives. And that's part of the fear of the Lord too, I think, is just understanding that he does have all these things in his hand. We don't all go through the same pain. But I think we all need to in our own life, realize that God is our all-sufficiency, and then he gives each person the grace to come through the tribulations that are in their life.
Daniel Pryor, he is the Bible-based counselor. You need some help with an issue in your life or a marital issue or some kind of relational issue, he would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also contact me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com. And again, that was 425-778-6169.
And all counseling these days is virtual, so you can get counsel from Daniel anywhere you are. Always great stuff, Sound Mind, with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.